Hey, welcome to Calvary. However you found us, wherever you find yourself, you are so very welcome. And today is Mother's Day. And although it is Mother's Day, hopefully it's not too late for me to speak just for a moment to the guys and the kids out there. According to a recent survey, 40% of moms have received an unwanted Mother's Day gift.
Shocker.
What do you mean? Shocker. That's not true for you.
Probably not.
So anyway, here's a couple of things that were on the list of unwanted Mother Day gifts. A pedicure with my mother-in-law.
I would like that.
I know you would like that. A card that the child was meant to decorate, but she was only a month old, so it just became a white piece of paper. An offer. Here's a good one. This husband is very creative. An offer to spend quality time with my kids by taking them out for a special activity that I would choose and arrange. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I was offered nothing. Absolutely nothing different than I do every day. Yeah, he thought it was a good gift. The list also included deodorant, car parts, a vacuum cleaner, not even a good one, and a glass jar filled with bugs and a dead mouse. Oh. Guys and kids, don't get any of those. And if you did, take them back. But moms and daughters of moms, here's the good gift that I think God wants to give you today. And we're going to kind of flow in and through this as Lynn and I chat, or at least part of the good gifts. He just wants you to know that he sees you. You're not invisible. He loves spending time with you. In fact, you have captured his heart. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." And then in verse 17, he says, and this is for everybody, but especially today for the moms of you out there, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them." In other words, God just, there's nobody who thinks about you more than Father God himself. In her blog, Amy Axby shares a mothering story about a time when her kids were little. She writes, "I was angry all the time. I had no idea how to be the mom I wanted to be. And so one day I walked into the kitchen where my toddler had broken something, and he was trying to clean it all by himself." And she said he often broke things in the kitchen, ketchup, eggs, whipped cream. It was a constant source of exasperation for me. She said, I had no idea how to be the mom that I wanted to be. As she felt the angry shout start to rise up in her throat, she sensed God saying, "Get down on the floor and tell him, I see you. I see you." And in that moment, she said she felt such a wave of compassion for her son that her anger completely dissolved. She writes, "I believe it was the love of God for him. And I knelt down and I said, 'Son, come here.' He knew he was in trouble, but he came with his head kind of hanging down. And again, she sensed God saying, 'Tell him, I see you.' She put her hands gently on his little arms and said, 'I see you. I see that you're trying to be good. I see that you're trying to clean up the mess. You're doing a good job. I see you and I love you, and God sees you and he loves you.' She said he was so little, maybe 3 years old, and his lip trembled and he threw himself at me. He grabbed me tightly and started to cry. She was a little bit shocked that a little toddler would even know what she was saying, much less be so moved by it. 'I see you.' Such a powerful gift. In fact, as I prayed about it this week, and as Lynn and I were kind of talking about Mother's Day and this, what would both honor the women and the wives and the mothers in our midst, and also at the same time kind of call us forward into a summer of prayer, a summer of extraordinary prayer that is going to start next weekend, actually. And as I talked with Lynn, I just kept sensing God simply saying, "Tell them he sees you. You're seen and sought." Those are words that Lynn has spoken many times. You're picked out of a crowd and pursued because your heart matters. And in the midst of homeschooling and work and cooking and classes and wrestling with loneliness and uncertainty and everything else, I mean, sometimes even just feeling guilty for moments of joy, I think you need to hear that God sees you. In those times when you think you'll never be enough, always disappointing someone, when you wonder, does God even see me? Do you see me, God, in my singleness? Do you see how much I'm wrestling with infertility? Do you see the child I lost or I'm losing? Or the difficulties in marriage? Do you see the burden I feel to honor you in my work and in my home? Do you see me? And I'll just give you another passage from the Old Testament. This is all over the place in Scripture as well. But in Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, God says to the people of Israel, and he's saying to you today, don't be afraid. I've ransomed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. When you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I see you, I know you, and I'm with you. And I really think that's God's word to women, to mothers this morning. And it's also a powerful call to prayer. God says, I see you, I know you, I'm with you. Hey, let's talk. So next weekend, we're starting our summer of series on extraordinary prayer from May 19th to August 26th, 100 days of extraordinary prayer, 100-day journey to extraordinary prayer. And it's all about just taking our ordinary and adding a little bit extra to it. So I'm thrilled. Lynn is maybe a little bit less than thrilled, but I am thrilled to be here, to be seen with my wife, to see my wife. She's my wife of almost 40 years. Got married when we were like 5 or 10 or something like
that.
The mother of our 4 kids, Maymay to 5 grandkids. And having 4 kids who grew up in the church, we've often said that our greatest joy is that our kids still love Jesus and they don't hate the church or us, I don't think.
And, most days.
And I'm not exaggerating when I say that a significant reason for that is Lynn's prayers. So Lynn is here to share some of her prayer journey, kind of Mother's Day, but also leading into this journey to extraordinary prayer, some of her prayer journey as a mom. So Lynn, we're going to start with the mom part, and we're just going to flash a few mom pictures up there for people to see. And as they come up, I just want you to just say a word, not a paragraph, just a sentence.
One word.
Well, or a sentence. You can do a little more than a word, but just explain to people what it is.
I'm afraid of the pictures that you've pulled out, but okay, I will do that.
Oh, so there's the first one.
So that's Minnesota Christmas, I think. So Katie would have been about 2 and Sarah probably 4.
You look like
look
you're
at
about
my hair and I'm pale, so pale.
That's the picture. That's not. Well, it's winter in Minnesota. You maybe were a little bit pale.
Oh, that's at church.
Yeah.
That's at 12:50.
It is.
A Christmas picture. So that would have been Josh would have been 6 months old. So that's 96. 1996.
Wow.
Yep.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a sweater vest, but look at you, what are you wearing?
I'm not wearing a sweater vest.
I know, and those glasses.
Yeah, forget the glasses. Picture number 3.
That is a beach, Myrtle Beach.
I think it's either Myrtle Beach or Hilton Head.
I think it's Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all of us.
We're not pale there. That's nice. Your hair's long. Oh, Jake and Josh will love this one. That was a Mother's Day. I'm pretty sure it's... They surprised me for my 50th birthday. They showed up, or Jake surprised me. He was at Bethel, and you flew him back, and he slid into the booth at the waffle shop, and I cried. The other kids were already there, and you got a speeding ticket.
What does that have to do with the picture?
On your way home from the airport, or you're on your way to the airport.
Okay, next picture.
Oh,
oh,
nice.
Man, that is...
That's beautiful. That's, that looks like...
You're... That's the look. That's the look that you have taught
our
daughters.
We do have the good roll the eye look. And okay. That is on an island, St. Croix. No, not St. Croix.
Could have been. Anyway.
Oh, and that's my little Myanmar baby. Susanna is the mama in the back. And then she had a... Now she has 2, but that was Sophia.
And one more.
That was just this past Thanksgiving. All of us.
Whole crew.
Except for Livy.
Livy
was pregnant then.
Yeah, that's right. Livy
was newly pregnant, I think. And Dan on the beach has his boots on.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So let's talk about prayer. We got the mom stuff, you know, we've established the fact that you are a mom, you are a prayer. And honestly, we're not just having this conversation because Lynn is a mother. She's seriously a woman of prayer. I love the story that I just ran across this week that Jeannie Olson tells. She was a mother of five, and she took her daughter, Kristen, age 9, out for kind of a mother-daughter breakfast kind of deal. And during their meal, Jeannie courageously asked her daughter, how do you think I could be a better mom?
Oh boy.
That's a loaded question. But Kristen thought for a moment, and then she said, well, you do yell a lot. I know you've been praying about that, but it's not working yet. So, Lynn, start our prayer conversation with this question. Where have you seen prayer work? What are a few of your kind of God moment highlight, God showing up to answer prayer?
I thought back to, because you don't often think back to places where God answered big prayers, and I think that's part of the journey. Prayer is a journey. It's been a journey for me for years and years and years.
Yeah.
But I thought back to some key moments, some as a mom, and some just in, well, all of them I think are as a mom, one is as
to
a foster
mom.
I remember when the kids were younger, I remember one particular time Katie had a horrible ear infection, and I was screaming in pain, and I was just praying over her, and all of a sudden she just felt this pop, and the pain was gone. Probably her eardrum burst, but there's places where God, like, for them, it connected. Yeah. My mom prayed, and this happened. There's another time with Katie where she was told me she was somewhere for a sleepover, but she was not there. I found out about it from Kim Sublett, who found out about it from one of her friends that was concerned. But I never told Katie that. I just said, I know you weren't where you said you were. And Katie's response was, I knew it. I told them you were going to find out about this. I knew it. And I didn't tell her for years how I found out. She just said, I told them my mom prays and she knows things.
Yeah.
And I let that, like, just...
Let it go.
Yeah, let those go. Don't tell the truth there. I prayed from when the kids were little that they wouldn't be casualties of ministry, because so many pastors' kids just really rebel and walk away from the kids in general. But the ministry piece for our kids was important, that they loved the church. One of my big things was Sarah was a fresh. She gave me permission to share this. But she was a freshman at Penn State, and for a couple of the months, she just kind of rebelled a little bit. Yeah. She was not coming to church. She didn't connect with a ministry group on campus and was going to some parties and things like that. And one Friday night in particular, I was praying for her, and I felt like the Lord nudged me and said, call her. She's on her way to a party. I didn't hear a verbal voice. It wasn't this audible voice, but I just really sensed strongly. So I called her and I said, you know, hey, Sarah, how you doing? What's up? And she said, oh, I'm just hanging out in my dorm room. And I said, well, I've been praying, and I sense that God said you're on your way to a party, and I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
Later, I would find she shared that she was, in fact, on her way to a party, and when that call came through, she said she had this conviction from God, turned around, and her mom turned around, went back to her room, and just said, I spent the night just kind of reevaluating my choices, and it's what was the first step of her just, she wrote some letters of apology, it was very cool. But if I wasn't praying for her and listening to God, I would have missed that moment.
Yeah. And also there's something really important there that I think we need to hear too, that it wasn't just listening and praying, because you could have listened and then just kept praying, but there was a stepping out too.
I mean,
sometimes we don't really grow in prayer unless, like, we're willing to be the answer to the prayer.
Yes. But other times I feel like God puts a burden on our heart only for us to pray. We're
absolutely
not supposed to.
Absolutely.
That's, again, the sensitivity to the Lord. And then I was thinking back to a time when this all started in a sermon that you had that none of your intention was this, but I think I always pray before anyone speaks, that the Holy Spirit will speak to me specifically, what do I need to hear from this? And one of your comments, and it wasn't even the main point of the sermon, was, are you living your life in a way that God can interrupt it at any mm-hmm. moment? And I heard that, and it just kind of stopped me short. And I felt like God said, I want you to be a foster parent.
Yeah.
And so I said something to you after this sermon. You're like, I didn't get that from the sermon. But I started to pray about it.
I didn't say that in the sermon either.
Yes, you did not. And then you left for a conference that day, and I can remember sitting down, it was quiet, and I pulled out a newspaper, and there was this huge ad looking for foster parents in Center County. Like, okay, God, I guess that's a pretty obvious thing. So we started to pray. We went through the classes. In my mind, we're going to get a sweet little baby and have him or her for a few months, and ended up with an 11-year-old who was pretty angry, particularly at me, because he still had a mom, and that's where the conflict was. The dad had kind of checked out years ago. So he loved Dan. He did not love me. And so I just really struggled with, okay, God, why did you call me to this, to this? I mean, you had a very active participant. And I can remember, it was probably 6 months into it, and I had a group of us ladies that met and prayed, and I asked them to pray for me specifically about, I was having a hard time loving him.
Yeah.
I didn't feel loved, and I was just having a hard time loving him. And as the ladies were praying, it was kind of like their voices dimmed out, and a thought came into my mind. And often when it's a thought that goes along with Scripture but isn't what I would typically think of, I think, okay, was that God? And the thought that came to my mind was, how can you love my city if you can't love one? And it was so convicting. And at the same time, like, it motivated me. It gave me hope that we can do something. And I went back home that day. You were working, and all the other kids. I think Josh was the only one home. But I took Jaden out. We spent like this evening doing special things, and ended up as he was getting ready for bed, and I went in to say goodnight and pray with him. And he looked at me and he said, "I think I'm ready to pray and ask Jesus into my heart." And my first thought was, oh, do you want to wait till Dan gets home?
Yeah.
And he said, no, I think I'd like to do that with you. And that was such a gift, like an immediate answer to prayer. And it was all about him changing my heart.
Right.
And when he changed my heart, then Jaden could respond to me differently. So we had him for about a year.
Yeah.
And it was, God did a lot.
And we still have some relationship with him, conversation. Yep. That's good.
The last thing I think that came to my mind was spending years praying for Harvest Fields when we had bought the land, but nothing was working the time frame or the way we thought that it would work. And at one point, I can remember sitting in the prayer cabin that we had out here and looking down over where the site of the church was, and there was some of the ground had been bulldozed or whatever, but there was nothing going on, and I just kind of cried out, Lord, just start something. Let me see that you're doing something.
Give me a sign.
Give me a sign. And probably 10 minutes later, I looked up and there were all of a sudden all these bulldozers and different things out. And I thought, oh, well, that was cool. That was a sign. But Lord, we still don't know what you're doing here. Are we doing the right thing? Are we pursuing the right thing? And I sense God saying, ask me for something.
Yeah.
Ask me for something specific. So I said, all right. Then by Tuesday, this was a Friday, we were waiting for a road to get paved. I said, let that road be paved by Tuesday. And we were that Sunday, we were at a church business meeting, and there were two guys that were involved in the construction behind me that didn't know what I had prayed, and they were just talking. And the thing that caught my ear was they said, yeah, it looks like they're not going to be able to pave that road till spring. It's too cold. They're not going to do it till spring. So I was like, oh, I guess that wasn't God.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, we were driving up the old driveway past the barn, and I looked to the right, and that whole stinking road was paved. And I thought, you're so good, God. Like, he knew the wrestling and the doubts and the wanting to do what God wanted us to do, and he was just so kind to do that for
us. So those are some of the highlights, great answers to prayer and moments where you encountered God's presence. What would have been some of the barriers, the hindrances, the distractions that you've had to overcome on your journey of prayer?
Well, I would say my biggest one has been shame.
Yeah.
And I want to emphasize, too, prayer is such a journey.
Yeah.
And I think we'll talk about it a little later, but, you know, there's different seasons where it looks so different.
Yeah.
But probably in the last decade, God really revealed the ways that shame blocked me, the ways that shame kept me from really believing I was fully seen and known and loved by God. It made me feel like I wasn't enough. My big lie was I'm a disappointment, not only to God, but to everyone.
Yeah.
And when you feel unworthy, it's very hard to enter into God's presence with full surrender and full trust. I felt exhausted. Like there's a lot of barriers, and I know as moms and working women, and there's just a lot of responsibilities, a lot of things we do, and so sometimes the exhaustion can just make it feel like I can't pray.
Yeah,
I think it's so easy to get distracted by things, and typically when I find myself distracting myself, I push in and say, all right, what am I hiding from with God? Where am I feeling like, again, I'm not enough, I'm not measuring up? What are the things that are keeping me from sitting in God's presence and praying? And it's not just when I'm listening for God, it's not just listening with my ears, it's reading his word and reading his word, asking him to speak through his word, because that's the way he most often speaks to us, through his word. But learning to just sit in the delight of a father who loves me changed everything in how I approached God.
Well, one of the things to maybe clarify or ask you the question that you said, I mean, it's not just that sense of feeling unworthy, because really all of us are unworthy to come into his presence, but it was that sense that you've had that God actively, his emotion towards you is disappointment.
Yes, like
that,
not delight.
It's a wrong belief, but that sense that, you know, God doesn't want to spend time with me. God is silent because he's annoyed with me. It was your picture of God that was a barrier, even more so than just your picture of yourself, or at least as much as.
Yes, how God, I think it's as important to our prayer life and figuring out how do I view God, but also how does God view me?
Yeah.
What is the lens that he looks at me in? Too often we do think it's a lens of disappointment. It's a lens of not enough. It's the lens of, well, you didn't have 2 hours of quiet time with me yesterday, so why am I going to show up for you today? Like, I'm earning it. And even though in my mind I knew about God's love, I knew what the Bible said about God's love, but it didn't really sink into the truth of my heart. And it still is a battle. You know, not only that, but I think sometimes even unanswered prayer is a barrier, or the not answered in my timing, or the way I thought answer. And it kind of becomes a, well, if God's not going to show up here, what am I wasting my time for? And yet, always, when I'm spending time in prayer, it's about what God is doing in my heart and where he's reshaping me and changing me. And
that's the one thing we can count on. God is always doing something in us, even when we don't see him doing something around us. So if you could give just a couple of, like, hey, take this away, you know, from this and apply this to your own prayer journey for moms, mothers, women, and the guys as well. Moving from those, how do you go from those barriers? Because everybody has barriors, distractions. Sure. Probably a lot of them resonate with the ones that you brought up. How do we go from the barriers and the distractions to those highlight God kind of moments?
It's a journey. You know, I look back over different seasons of my life, and my walk with the Lord looks so different from season to season, which is normal. I think for me, the biggest change came when I learned how to just kind of sit and rest in his presence.
Yeah.
I could do that when I truly... And again, it's still a journey for me, I truly recognized how much he loves me, that his love is never dependent on what I do or how much I do. I mean, there's places I think we please him by by what we do, but his love isn't
dependent
on that. It's and this for me to keep thinking about, I'm not a disappointment to him.
Yeah.
I didn't disappoint him when I didn't do this, or I didn't make him love me more because I spent this much time with him. More of that is how it changes me. But again, I think God just waits for us with, I can't imagine, I mean, I try to imagine this God who loves us so much, who created all of us, who created the world, and he is expectant, looks forward to us taking time aside and just sit in his presence. I think in the last few months, I've realized, too, that grieving some things, my dad is not doing well, is on a hospice care, and you know, you kind of just carry on and don't pay attention to the grief sometimes that just gets buried there. And I found over the last few weeks this invitation from God when I'm sitting on the porch to just sit. I don't have to come up with my, you know, I'll read the word. I do some worship and prayer. And then I feel like, okay, now I need to ask him for the things that I need. And had such a sense of him saying, I already know what you need to pray. I got this. Just sit.
I
don't need the list.
Not that it's wrong to pray the list.
No, and there are times that I'm very, like, it's a perseverance that I'm praying for. There's a number of things I've been praying for years that I haven't seen God answer, and I keep praying for them because the persistence, some of the stories in the Bible about persistence of prayer, but often as I'm praying for it that long, again, it's a sense of, here's what God's changing in me.
That's good. I mean, what we talked about last night, you've kind of woven in there is that desire to listen, that prayer is not just presenting the list. Yeah. And it's not even just talking, listening through the words, sitting silent in his presence, feeling that sense of invitation into his presence. It's silencing the shame. You know, I mean, you gotta work through what God really feels towards you. Yeah. I mean, I think the cross is such an amazing reminder of how he feels towards us. And then the other part is just to be still. You know, find your place to be still, find what you need to surrender in your heart and your life and go for it.
Yeah.
And keep it, I love, you know, what you said a number of times. Keep it a journey. Make sure that don't get discouraged. Keep moving on in the journey and see what God has for you.
I mean, I know there are times, you know, high school, college, where it's more about other relationships and keeping busy, and you know, you do some things spiritually, but being still was the last thing on earth that I wanted to do.
Right.
Then there's times as a young mom where any time that you have that stillness, you feel guilty about it because either the kids are into something or you're not doing what you should be. Like, always busy, always doing something. And as the kids got older, there's some more places for that. And then empty nest hits and grandparenting hits, and everything looks different.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had the time that I have now I still have to get up really early a lot of times to do it, but to sit on the porch for an hour, 2 hours, sometimes more than that if I don't have a lot going on in the day, and just sit in his presence. I don't do that when my grandkids are here because he just, so looking for how is God calling me to be still in this season? It's going to look so different when you have young kids or working full time or, you know, whatever your stage of life. It's more about God calls us to stillness, to moments of stillness. It's about that voice recognition of here's what the Holy Spirit sounds like. It's inviting the Holy Spirit to work. It's not about me trying to control God. It's about allowing the Spirit of God to control me and to direct my prayers. And you know, I do think that when I approach God with a sense of delight and expectancy, that, like, if our kids come to us because they want to be with us, not because we said, okay, we're going to have some family time, everyone sit here. That's a whole different feeling when our kids, like, want to be with us.
Yeah.
And I sense that from God when I come with this expectancy and this delight, that changes everything.
Yeah.
And again, I would be leading you astray to say, every time I spend time with the Lord, I feel like the windows of heaven are open and I feel his presence. There's been a lot of times where I am doing it out of, I know this is what I need and I know it's what God calls me to do. I'm not feeling it right now. But it's the perseverance. It's looking for, okay, what is God trying to teach in me and shape in me through being more quiet? And one of my lies is, if God is quiet towards me, it's because he's mad at me or disappointed in me. So, like, just be aware of those things. We all have blocks. They all look like different, sound like different lies. But keep pressing in, because there's so much good and there's so much that God has for each one of us. And for those of you who do not have children, or those of you who are high school, college, pray for each other. I think the greatest gift to parents could be, we had a lot of this with our kids, someone else saying, I'm praying for your family. I'm praying for your children. If you don't have children, find someone who you know who has children and say, how can I be praying? And man, you can make a difference in the lives of kids. And I'm just coming alongside. I think we're all called to come alongside the next generation and love them. Pray for them.
Well, that's what our summer really is all about, adding some extra to our ordinary and moving forward in this journey of prayer, not a one-time event, but just a journey. And, you know, if we look around us and maybe even look within us, you can sometimes see a gap between where we want to be and where we are. And man, I think not just in our prayer life, but in everything, the bridge between where we're at and where we want to be, where we could be, it always, always involves prayer. And with all my heart, I believe that this summer, if we're willing to kind of add a little bit of extra to our ordinary, we're going to see God move in some pretty significant ways. So moms and daughters, especially, you come from so many different places, but I believe that every one of you, even some of you who don't know it, every one of you, every one of us, we hunger for that connection to God. God designed us with a desire to hunger for him, a desire to connect with him, a desire to have a relationship with him. And some of you, maybe even if you don't know it, you desperately long for a connection with God, a touch from God. Something is stirring inside of you right now because you'd like to make that kind of life-giving connection. So I just want you to take a moment and listen to this video and just realize that it comes with our thanks for who you are, who God is creating you to be. And then after the video, Lynn is going to pray for you, and that'll close our time together.
Today is Mother's Day. And we want to acknowledge all the women we're blessed to know. We rejoice over you for your strength, your wisdom, your strong love, and your beautiful faith. Whether today is a celebration for you or a day of quiet reflection and healing, we're thinking of all of you. If you gave birth this year to your first child, our joy overflows and we celebrate with you. If you adopted a child this year or became a foster parent, we rejoice with you, and we want to honor you in your commitment to changing the lives of children. If you continue to struggle with infertility, we are hoping with you and holding your hand in prayer. If you are exhausted and feeling underappreciated for all you do for a house full of kids, we applaud you. We love you. And we appreciate you more than you can ever imagine. And if you lost a child this year to death or miscarriage, we weep and mourn with you. And if your child is lost to addiction or to the world, we hurt with you. And we join you in putting our hope in the one who brings prodigals home. If you live with painful memories of your mom, we pray that you will find in a spiritual mother all that you never had from a birth mom. And if you're one of those amazing spiritual moms, we thank you for stepping up and being there when others couldn't. If you're experiencing an empty nest for the first time this year, we walk with you in this new season and are excited about the next chapter God has planned for you. If you're single, we celebrate your strength beauty and individuality, and join with you in praying for the desires of your heart. If you're a single mom and wonder if you have the physical energy and financial resources to raise and provide for your child or children, we want to help you, and we will. And if you're pregnant for the first time, we prayerfully anticipate with you the joyful birth of a healthy child. And to all the special women on this Mother's Day, rest and delight in knowing that we are thankful for you, and we celebrate each and every one of you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single woman who is listening, maybe struggling, maybe in a great time in their relationship with you, lonely, defeated, feeling like they've been crying out to you for something and just not sensing your presence or hearing your answer. God, I pray, even in this moment, that you would pour your spirit out.
Yes, Lord.
That you would open eyes to your goodness and your faithfulness and how much you love us and delight in us. How each one of us, just we bring a smile to your face and joy to your heart. And I know that the enemy tries to steal that, but Lord, we just invite you into those places and ask that you would show up in big ways. God, I pray that you would show us over and over and over that your love for us is not founded in our ability to love you, but it is totally founded on your ability to keep being God, that you are God and you created us and you love us, and that's all there is to it. And so, Father, I pray where people need life and encouragement breathed into them, I pray that you would do that. I pray where there's just disappointment and anger and confusion, Lord, would you just unfold your spirit in ways that make the women out there, make each one of us realize you see us. Your desire is to soothe our hearts, to make us feel safe and secure in your love. And I pray that each person out there, in particular the women today, would feel that from your gracious hand. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.